Good morning. Great to have you all here, assuming we do have anybody. We are St. Matthew's Church Surbiton, and we are struggling a little bit with Facebook and links this morning. We've just gone live. There is a new link on our website for this link, but if you heard this on Facebook, you wouldn't need to know about the website. But it's good to be here. Nevertheless, however many people are listening, God will still be worshipped, and that's what we are all about. So we have another one in our series of Why I Am a Christian. I'm delighted that Brian Goodman is going to tell us about that later on in our service. The words we're going to use are going to come up on the screen. I'm going to say the words in white, and you're going to respond with the words in yellow. So we begin our opening words together. As we gather together, let us rejoice to be here with one another. As we gather in God's house or in our own homes, let us rejoice that His Spirit is here with us. As we gather to worship, let us join our hearts and voices in praise. Amen. This morning we've got something a bit different. We have a sort of acoustic version of our first opening song, and I'll leave Simon Rowe to introduce it. Thank you, Simon.
Hello, I'm Simon, and I attend the 11 o'clock service. It's been a while. This is a song that you recognise. It's called Strength Will Rise. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God, and You do not faint, You don't grow weary. You are the defender of the weak, and You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the ever God, the everlasting God, You do not faint, You won't grow weary. You are the defender of the weak, You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thank you so much to Simon. We should have asked him so many weeks before ago about doing that. We'll have him back some other time as well. Thank you, Simon. We come now to our time of confession, as we always do. And so let's spend just a few moments thinking about what we want to bring to God, and then words will come up on our screen. So let us confess our sins to God. Let us pray. All-seeing God, forgive the blindness that causes our eyes to notice and magnify those things we regard as different from ourselves in others. All-knowing God, teach us to see clearly that we, your children, are far more alike than we are different. All-powerful God, help us to put aside the racial prejudice embedded within us and to see within every person the child of God you created, our sister or brother destined for glory, in the name of the one who died for all persons of all colors, Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, as I said earlier, we are going to have another in our popular series of Why I Am a Christian. I have been asking Brian Goodman to do this talk for about the last 5 years, and every year he's been able to say, well, I'm away for almost all of August. So this was my opportunity this year. He couldn't possibly be away all of August, especially because I think I asked him when it was lockdown. So Brian, thank you so much. Great to have you and Kathy in church this morning. Please do come up and bring the first part of your story for us.
Good morning to everyone. To those of you who don't know me, I'm Brian Goodman. I usually sit behind my drums just around the corner there, well out of sight. I'm married to Kathy, and I'm the proud father of Ben, just turned 40, and Carla, who will be 37 in September. I was born in Gloucestershire in a small village called Saul, but there is nothing in my talk today about my becoming a Christian after being blinded by the light. Rather, my story is about being born in a Quaker company-owned cottage, Cadbury's, to a family with grandparents, aunts and uncles and cousins living nearby, whose Christian beliefs and values were ever present, and church or chapel attendance was expected. I lived with my parents and older brother in a cottage on the banks of the River Severn. There was no electricity, no running water, and the lavatory was in the garden. Although a master mariner, my father was working in the family bakery just along the road. Well, track really. It was when we were living there that I had my first experience that showed that someone was looking over me. I was not yet 3 years old and had gone missing. After a frantic search, I was found by my mum in my dad's rowing boat, bailing out the water. When I think back now, I was very lucky to come out of that unscathed. Perhaps it was this incident, but more likely my father's wish to return to the sea that prompted a move to Bristol. Dad worked with the tides, so we saw little of him. My nighttime routine was listening to the shipping forecast. We didn't have a TV, praying for those at sea, and particularly for my dad. My dad continued to work at sea until his retirement at 63. My mum virtually raised my brother David and me on her own. We attended our parish church of St. Anne's, Bristol. I became a chorister and eventually head boy and soloist, singing at morning and evening services and weddings. By now, my aunts, uncles and cousins were beginning to move away from the Gloucester villages, but we all stayed closely connected, coming together at our grand's some point during the school holidays. Kathy says of the story she heard that I had a famous five childhood. My Uncle Bill was a minister in the Church of England and the first prison chaplain to be appointed. eventually transferring to Layhill Open Prison in Gloucestershire, where my grandparents lived with them. Because my dad was at sea, Mum, David and I would take the number 16 bus from Bristol to go to see them. The bus stop was right beside the prison entrance, and when we got off the bus, you could hear people saying, "Oh, those poor boys." They obviously thought we were visiting Dad in prison. Uncle Bill was a giant of a man, and we used to love listening to the stories of his time as a missionary, his work in prisons, and to his sermons. At his home, we sat with Borstal boys for tea and talk, and we went to the pantomimes and shows put on by the prisoners. I remember one visit in particular, when I was about 8. Dad was with us, so we had gone by car. Uncle Bill had a visitor, a lifer from the hostel at Bristol Prison called Wilson, who was working out in the community. Uncle Bill asked my dad if we could take Wilson back to Bristol. All I knew about Wilson was that he had murdered somebody. My brother and I sat in the back of the car, and Wilson sat between us. Wilson had hands like shovels, and I was terrified, thinking that we would never make it back to Bristol alive. As it turned out, he was a really nice guy, and he had gone to visit Uncle Bill to thank him for all his help and support whilst at Layhill. Little did I know then that I would go on to sit alongside many Wilsons later in my life. My school years were spent in Bristol. I passed the 11 plus and went to the grammar school, but I was never really academic. School for me was for socialising and playing football. The consequence of this was that when the mock O-level results were in, I had passed in only one subject, religious knowledge. I was called to the headmaster's office, a place I knew well. Goodman asked Mr. W.C. Discombe, "Do you intend to be a vicar?" I told him I didn't think so, but that I did have a vicar and a bishop in the family. Before throwing me out of his office, he told me if I left the school then, he would give me a reference. If I didn't, he would make sure I never got a job in my life. I left, and I got myself an apprenticeship as a loose pattern moulder in an iron foundry.
Brilliant. So we'll hear part two of that a bit later on. Just some Facebook comments. Lots of gratitude to Simon Rowe for his... It's a bit confusing when there's two Simons, but lots of gratitude to Simon for that opening number. It was great, wasn't it? The restrictions have changed as of this week. So we are now allowed singing in church, but the congregation can't sing. So Brian and Kathy, you're not allowed to sing, but I can because I'm leading the service and Simon can play and sing because he can do two things at once. So we are going to have a live action song from church, and so we are going to do that indisputably. So we are going to sing "Stand Up, Clap Hands, Shout, Thank You, Lord." So it feels even more odd doing this to an empty church. That actually, I've had a brilliant idea. Everybody in the church, we've got Brian and Kathy, we've got Jackie, new church warden, we've got Andy and Dave doing the sound and the vision. They can't sing, but of course they can all do the actions. Brilliant. So on your feet. Excellent. Up on your feet, Goodmans. Not going to not have that. Great. Stand up, clap hands, shout, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the world I'm in." Stand up, clap hands, shout, "Thank you, Lord, for happiness and peace within." I look around and the sun's in the sky. I look around and I think, oh my, the world is such a wonderful place, and all because of the good Lord's grace. Stand up, clap hands, shout, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the world I'm in." Stand up, clap hands, shout, "Thank you, Lord, for happiness and peace within." creatures I see. I look around and it amazes me that every fox and bird and hare must fit in a special place somewhere. Stand up, clap, hand, shout, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the world I'm in. Stand up, clap, hand, shout, thank you, Lord, for happiness and peace within. I look around at all the joy I've had. I look around and it makes me glad that I can offer thanks and praise to him who guides me through my days. Stand up, clap, hand, shout, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the world I'm in. Stand up, clap, hand, shout, thank you, Lord, for happiness and peace within. So you heard it first, singing in church this morning, Sunday the 23rd of August 2020. May not have sounded very nice, but it was still there. Good, must mean we're making strides back to normal. We are going to hear the creed. Come together now to say the creed. The words are going to come up on the screen. And so this is our opportunity to affirm the God in whom we believe. So we say together, we believe in one God, creator of all life, maker of past, present, and future, Lord of all people, and of all memories and hopes. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's word of grace and love made flesh, who came to declare good news to those in despair, to liberate both the oppressed and the oppressor, to proclaim God's mercy as our hope. We believe in God's Holy Spirit, who takes our shattered dreams and makes us whole again, who lifts our failing spirits and gives us courage, who resurrects us to new life. We believe that the church is of God and will endure to the end of time and calls us into a life of love and service. Amen. So we're going to think a bit more about a life of love and service, because I'm going to ask Brian to come up again and give us part two of his story. So thank you, Brian.
The iron foundry was a dirty, dangerous place with red-hot furnaces and molten metal, but I excelled at the practical and college work, even if at the end of the day, I looked as though I'd been down a coal mine. I loved the work, completed my 5-year apprenticeship, and qualified with distinction. There was no need to go to a gym after work. Every day was a workout. My evenings were spent at, and eventually running, 2 youth clubs, one at St. Anne's and the other at the local Methodist church. On a visit to the local Congregational Church Youth Club, I met the girl of my dreams. Apparently, I went home and told my mum I'd just met the girl I was going to marry. At that time, the industrial landscape was beginning to change, and foundries in the west of England were being closed. I toyed with the idea of joining the Merchant Navy, but after talking with my dad and Uncle Bill, and I think Kathy may well have also had something to say about the matter, I applied to join Her Majesty's Prison Service. In September 1971, I presented at the gates of Bristol Prison as a prison officer under training. Whilst there, I heard about the suicide of a prisoner from my part of town who had been charged with offences against young boys. Someone was certainly watching over me when, as a young boy, I refused that man's persistent offers to take a ride in his flashy sports car. After graduating from officer training school, I was posted to Maidstone Prison. It was at about that time that the preservation for the rights of prisoners were gaining momentum, and most of Britain's prisons were experiencing some form of unrest. I certainly sent a few arrow prayers up on the night that Maidstone prisoners broke out the wing and started a rooftop protest. After 2 years, and to start our married life together, Kathy was at college in Wimbledon, I transferred to this part of the world, where I worked at Latchmere House Remand Centre on Ham Common, with juveniles aged 14 to 17 and young offenders 17 to 21. The nature of the work there meant that I knew more about prisoners' childhood and family circumstances, and on more than one occasion did I think, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." Ben was born in 1980. He was a beautiful baby, but we did notice that he did not use his right arm. It was not until Ben was around 8 months that it was confirmed that Ben had cerebral palsy. On the day we received the diagnosis and the advice not to expect too much, we had an unexpected visit from Uncle Bill and Auntie Margaret. There were tears, prayers, and the reassurance of God's love and strength to face the future. Carla was born on her expected due date in 1983. There were so many prayers said that day. She was delivered with no problems, and like Ben, a blessing who continues to enrich our lives. It was whilst at Latchmere that I became increasingly involved with the professional trade union. The national political and economic changes had brought changes to working practices and prison regimes, resulted in more risk to staff and prisoner health and safety, and fewer opportunities for rehabilitation, which needed to be challenged. I then moved on to Wandsworth and Highdown, both high security prisons. Promotion into management and the governor grades, along with my trade union work, gave me some opportunity to influence the policy and practice. But along with promotion came the increased responsibility for making operational decisions. Prisons are volatile places, and serious incidents were commonplace. For me, arrow prayers and risk assessments, many with only seconds to execute, were the order of the day. Shortly before I retired, there was a week-long music workshop for prisoners, culminating in a rock concert given by the professional musicians and the prisoners. One of the songs that the prisoners sung was "Lean on Me" by Bill Withers. I sometimes play along to the recording in my drum room, and I can guarantee I always need a handkerchief by the end. It's times like this that I realised why I loved my job so much. I retired in 2003 with two awards for my outstanding contribution to the work of the union. I wonder what my headmaster would have made of that. In my 32 years service, I witnessed and experienced the full range of human emotion and the worst and best of human behaviour. Sadly, many men still being locked up were those I had met earlier in my career. On the most difficult of days, my faith was my sword and my shield. I always remembered the biblical command to love thy neighbour as thyself, and the parable of the Good Samaritan would come to mind and strengthen my resolve to ensure prisoners and their families were treated with compassion.
One of the aspects of talking about why I am a Christian is that you get to choose not only a song or a hymn, but you also choose your reading. And it's going to be very special to hear Kathy come and bring Brian's choice of reading, which you might have guessed from what he just said is the parable of the Good Samaritan. So thank you, Kathy.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 25 to 37. Just then, a scholar of religion stood up with a question to test Jesus. "Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life?" Jesus answered, "What is written in God's law? How do you interpret it?" The scholar said that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as you do yourself. "Good answer," said Jesus. "Do it and you'll live." Looking for a loophole, the scholar then asked, "And just how would you define neighbor?" Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road, but when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite religious man showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling the road came on him. And when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back." What do you think? Which of these three became a neighbor to the man attacked by the robbers? "The one who treated him kindly," the religious scholar responded. Jesus said, "Go and do the same."
Thank you, Kathy. Good to hear that story in a slightly different version, just to challenge us with new language. That was the Message version, wasn't it, I believe? Yep, and all of a sudden you think, oh, that wasn't quite how I expected it to come out, and hopefully it gave new life and new freshness to that very well-known story. So thank you, Kathy. We've got lots of comments, lots of encouragement for you. Brian saying great stuff from all across the country, people enjoying your story. So thank you for what you've done. As I say, sorry for the glitch at the beginning. We don't quite know what happened, but it was a bit of a hairy moment, a scary hairy moment. But we're here now, so that's good news. Just a few notices to say that if you've just tuned in, I am Helen Hancock. I am team rector at St. Matthew's Surbiton. These are our contact details. So if you're watching for the first time or you've been online following us, then please do get in touch. It'd be good to hear from you and make some contact with you. Just a few notices to say that we have the last of our midweek services this week. Church will be open 10 till 12 on Wednesday. 11:45, we'll have prayer during the day. Little organ recital followed by, if you want to bring a picnic. We had to cancel it this week because it was horrible weather. But if you fancy that, do come along. You'll have to be self-sufficient. We can't use our kitchen, but we can provide you with a chair or two. And also to remind people that we do have the funeral for Michael Kennett here in church on Friday. Attendance is by ticket because we've strictly limited to only 30 people. But you can join the service online, hopefully slightly more successfully at the beginning than today. You'll already see the links on Facebook and on our website. And also in our website, you can find the order of service, so you really will be able to follow the service with us. So keep Leslie, please, and the family in your prayers this week. But the service will be 11 o'clock on Friday morning online. I didn't think a few weeks ago I'd say that, or 3 months ago I'd say that, but anyway. The other thing I just wanted to say, I think, as I say, rules are changing. They sort of seem to change every week, don't they? And then they change back again. So we are trying to, we had a PCC this week. We're trying to decide how's the best way to continue, but we're trying to balance singing and early service, late service, children, all sorts of issues. So please bear with us. If you think we're doing it wrong, you could tell us very quietly and very gently, but we are trying to do best, and we are trying to cover it in prayer and believe that we are doing what we are called to do to try and protect everybody and keep people safe. So I say, if there's frustration, I apologize. The last thing I want to do, the better notice, easier and nicer notice to do, is to welcome the youngest member of our congregation. This is Sophia Hawoko. Rather incredibly, I'm told that the picture on the left was taken just after Sophia was born. That just, I think childbirth must have got easier since I did it. Anyway, doubtful though. And that's Sophia with her big brother Theo. So a big welcome to them. Great to have them as part of our congregation and our church family. So prayers for Sophia and the family. Great, thank you. Well, we are back now, finally, Brian, to the last chunk of why you are a Christian. So thank you so much.
As a young family, we retained our links with St. Andrew's at Ham, where Ben and Carla were baptized, even though we were living in Tolworth. Then one day, Ben came home from school, excited to tell us that he had passed an audition to join a church choir. We were concerned that his disability would be a problem, but were given short shrift by the choir master and told that Ben would not be the only member able to use only one hand. It felt as though St. Matthew's was reaching out to us. And when Ben first met Wes, it was at eye level and the start of a lasting friendship between them. Carla joined the children's groups and we all enjoyed the worship, support and fellowship on offer. A few years ago, it was my turn to join the church music group. I had not always played drums. In fact, I didn't have lessons until I was 53. And I was the oldest student by far on a one-year diploma course before becoming a drum tutor. The only interruption to my playing and teaching was when I suffered a detached retina. It was a terrifying experience. I used a quiver full of arrow prayers that day. Fortunately, surgery was successful and my prayers were answered. Nearly 2 years ago, I celebrated my 70th birthday with over 60 members of my family. It is a real blessing to remain so connected. From the day I was born, I had people around me whose lives were molded by Christian values. There was no expectation that I would adopt the faith, but I made a commitment at my confirmation and have continued to strive to follow God's teaching. Such is his love, advice, guidance, and reassurance. Why wouldn't I?
Brian, thank you so much for that. Great to hear your story. Great to hear how faith has just weaved itself from your very beginnings all the way through your life, and particularly through your life of service in the prison service. So thank you for that. A really inspiring story and a humbling one as well, to hear your commitment to other people, to looking after those who have struggled within society and who could otherwise be left on the edges. So thank you for that and for what you do. We're going now to turn to prayer, so let us pray. Almighty God, we all have a story. We all have a story with a beginning, and we are still living that story. And sometimes we put full stops in our stories, but then you come along and make them into commas. You don't leave us where we are. You don't abandon us, but your love always flows. Your forgiveness is always available to us. So we thank you for those times when we've been really aware that you have been part of our story and our lives. And we thank you even more for those times when we weren't aware of it. But perhaps now, looking back, we realize that you've never left us. even if we try to distance ourselves from you. We thank you for your grace in our lives, for your unconditional love for each one of us. We pray for those who do not know you or love you. We pray particularly for the work of chaplaincy in our prisons, in our hospitals and in our schools, taking your love to people and into places where it so needs to be heard. We pray for prisoners, for prison staff, for the families of both staff and prisoners. We pray for a prison service which is disabled by lack of funds, lack of resources, and perhaps sometimes a lack of will to look for rehabilitation and for restoration and to concentrate on punishment. We also pray for victims of crime, acknowledging that many people have been hurt and are wounded by the evil which others do to them. And this arises from our fallen and broken world and points us to our need for you, Heavenly Father, even more. We pray for those who are struggling today, perhaps struggling from ill health, struggling from debt, from homelessness, from a breakdown in relationships, from the loss of a job or furlough. For economic vulnerability. For those who are experiencing some form of domestic abuse. Our world cries out in pain. And we believe, Father God, that you are there alongside everyone who is suffering, experiencing that pain as Jesus suffered pain upon the cross. But we thank you that Jesus rose from the dead and points us to the victory over sin and death. Whilst we still are in the final skirmishes, we believe that Jesus Christ conquered death and sin, and we praise you for that and work towards your kingdom coming here on earth. So, Almighty God, we come to you in prayer and we say first the collect for this week. God of glory, the end of our searching, help us to lay aside all that prevents us from seeking your kingdom and to give all that we have to gain the pearl beyond all price. Through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we do bring our prayers together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. In a moment, we are going to have our final song, and then after that, if you'd like to stay on, we will have a short act of Holy Communion. As I said, Brian got to choose the song he wanted to hear sung, and then he had to play it and sing it, because this is a video prepared by our band this week. Once again, we're lots of gratitude for our musicians who are continuing to lead our worship, albeit at the moment remotely. So why don't you stand, and we're going to sing together, All That I Am. Joyce, Brian, thank you so much for that. And again, as I say, thank you so much for the band for leading that worship. So we come to the end of our service. Next week is the final Why I Am a Christian. A few people have very kindly asked how Vinny is. You might recall Vinny was going to do one of these talks earlier in the month. He's doing better, thank you, and I hope he will come back and give his story to us next summer. So that means I've already got one person booked. Great. We come now, as I say, to our final prayer of blessing before we then have our Holy Communion service. But it's been good to share worship with you this morning. So, be with us, O God, as we go in your name. May the lips that have sung your praises always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing to you. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and forevermore. Amen. So welcome back to our shortened service of Holy Communion. We have had our gospel reading. We indeed said the Lord's Prayer. But we will now share the peace with one another. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. We offer one another a sign of peace. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels, praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends and, taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread and gave it to them and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you and gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people, gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. Now, Brian and Kathy are going to share in the bread of communion with me, but others at home are not able to do this. And so we now say this prayer of spiritual communion. Come, Lord Jesus, dwell in me and send your Holy Spirit that I may be filled with your presence. As the hem of your garment, touched in faith, healed the woman in the gospel, so may I be healed. Although I cannot receive you in the sacrament, I can, through this offering of my prayer, receive you in my heart. Grant this for Christ's sake. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. the blood of Christ. And so we pray together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We have already had a prayer of blessing, so we take this opportunity now to share the grace with one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.